Well, hello and good Friday to everybody. This is Austin Brower with Ted Brower on the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Figured I'd change it up for you guys today a little bit. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday and welcome to the show. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. So, yeah, I'm having a great time today, buddy. It's beautiful down here. Just really, we're in the middle of this sustained drought for almost 5 months now.
It's warm. It's always warm in Florida. It's have quite a few brush fires, too. We've actually had that a lot in central Florida the last couple weeks. A lot of fires. We had one down at River Ranch. There's actually one out at Rancho, where I have property, last weekend. Up in north, east towards Daytona, they've had fires. So, yeah, it's definitely pretty crispy out. So a lot of people can't burn or have any fireworks or do any of the typical Florida shenanigans that we like to get involved in. But that's okay. It should rain pretty soon, hopefully in the next week or so. And that'll help us out a lot. First article I wanted to start off with today, I wanted to address what Starbucks is doing with their unicorn drink. First off, the whole name of it's pretty odd to me. As you guys know, if you've looked, Starbucks has lost considerable amount of money in the last 2 months. Their shares have gone down, their sales have gone down, and primarily it has a lot to do with the idiotic statement that the CEO said 2 months ago about how they were planning on hiring 5,000 refugees now, when America's in the middle of basically a crisis as far as our jobs, and they want to start giving jobs away to refugees here in the States and abroad, all over the place. Also, a lot of their other stances most people don't agree with as far as on firearms, on homosexuality, on abortion, all that. I've gone into that in detail, so I'm not going to go on it today, but they came out with a clever marketing scheme to come out with a drink for 1 week only called the Unicorn. Now, the odd thing about this drink is it's pink and blue, kind of like unicorn colors, but nobody, and I've seen it on social media yesterday, it exploded. And so I kind of wanted to do a little research and figure out what was going on with this, and so I did. It's another one of Starbucks's fancy drinks. It's unbelievably overpriced that they use the typical homogenized GMO milk in and everything else. And it changes colors apparently as you stir it. Supposedly, there's no artificial colors in it. Granted, that doesn't keep the unbelievably heaping tablespoons of sugar out of it or the artificial flavors, preservatives, and all the other GMOs they use. But this thing is a monster as far as calories. Just the medium one has 59 grams of sugar. The large one, if you get the venti, which is their large drink, is 500 calories for one drink. This is one coffee, 24-ounce coffee, 500 calories with 79 grams of carbs and 18 grams of fat. And this is in one single drink, and people are all over the place drinking these. The issue that a lot of people don't realize, and you start to realize this if you do watch your diet and you exercise and you try and stay in pretty good shape, you can do higher protein and higher fat meals and get away with it a lot of times if you're exercising and stay lean. If you're really doing a lot of activity, you can do high carbohydrate and high protein. Sometimes, of course, you have to drop the carbs when you're not exercising very heavily, but you can use them as fuel. What really, really, really just is phenomenal way to pack on globs of body fat is a very high fat, high sugar, high carbohydrate diet, which this drink falls right into the category of. And even with their whole milk, it only has 7 grams of protein. So you're just adding in almost 20 grams of fat and 80 grams of carbs in one single drink. And most people that I know that have used Starbucks, this is not something they just drink for the entire day to sustain energy. This is like a mid-afternoon snack between lunch and another meal. So I don't like Starbucks. I actually can't stand them. You guys know that. I'm actually quite happy to hear that our boycott Starbucks had taken off some, and a lot of people had stopped going, and their sales had plummeted. But they came out with a clever marketing scheme to get all the millennials and the yees on board with this whole unicorn drink for a week. So this is probably what they're going to start doing now over the coming months to try and keep sales up, is come out with these clever, high-fat, high-sugar drinks to entice the public. Not something I'll be supporting, nor my family be supporting, but I just want to kind of touch base on that and remind everybody on what Starbucks stands for and not to drink this sludge. This is not going to do anything productive for your body. Not only is it loaded with ridiculous amounts of sugar, it's loaded with a ton of GMO homogenized milk fat, which again is not healthy for anybody, Deb.
I don't even know what to say, except I don't even like talking about Starbucks because they just so infuriate me from a everything standpoint. I mean, these guys are just like the epitome. In fact, it's to the point now where I know your 18-year-old brother, you know, about a year ago used to go there on a regular basis because, you know, it's got the Wi-Fi and everything else. And finally, we found a Christian coffee shop in Lakeland, and we asked him, don't go there again. I don't want to support this. And he said, okay, I got it. So once we started explaining to him what it meant and who these people are, he agreed. If we all do that, then their sales will continue to plunge. I mean, think about it, guys. $5 for a cup of coffee, really? And you go there 30 days out of the month, really? So you're spending $150 plus fuel, plus tolls, plus parking, plus whatever you got to pay to get coffee every month. It could end up being hundreds of dollars a month for a cup of coffee, really? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Yesterday, Todd sent us that prayer yesterday afternoon after the show, and I've made a couple of quick changes on it. That's what I was doing here while you were talking about the Starbucks thing. So I'm going to read this to you, and it's not that it needed to be changed, but some of the spot parts didn't flow like I liked it to. But this is probably the best prayer I've ever heard and ever had read. Guys, you got to remember this. When he prayed this over us yesterday, he did this out of his memory. There weren't any notes. I'm using notes. So here's an incredible prayer that I want to pray for everybody today. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the day that you have made, and we're glad in it. We enter through your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, and we come boldly before your throne of grace, not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, our great high priest. We apply the blood of Jesus over our families, our possessions and finances, our dwelling place, our transportation, our land, and our places of influence, for your blood is a hedge of protection around us across all realms and dimensions. We deploy the heavenly host to stand shoulder to shoulder around us, fully armed and equipped and ready to pierce through any enemy that draws near. May they bind the enemy with chains and fetters of irons, throw them in cages, and send them to the feet of Jesus to do with them as he wishes. May we draw near into the secret place under the shadow of your wings, for you are our fortress, our high tower, our defense, and our shield and our buckler. And Father, we place all of the armor of God that you have given us. We place on the belt of the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace on our feet, the shield of faith to quench the fiery arrows of the enemy on behalf of our whole family, the helmet of salvation, our sword, which is your word bathed in heaven, the cloak of zeal, the garments of vengeance, and above all, we clothe ourselves with Jesus. We renew our minds with the mind of Jesus, and we surround ourselves with songs of deliverance. May the eyes of our spiritual understanding be enlightened. May we be led by the Spirit. May we lift up our heads and the King of Glory will come in. May the heavens rejoice and release spiritual blessings stored up for us to execute your assignments. Blessings of gifting, anointing, resources, and divine help. I pray that the gates of heaven would open, drop down heavens and rain righteousness on your people, and may the earth open and bring forth salvation, and that the gates of brass and bars of iron that are the enemies that has constructed to hinder us and stop these blessings be collapsed in Jesus' name. And may the living water flow like a river freely from the throne of God and through each of us. We ask all of this of power, authority, and righteousness found in Christ Jesus, and we seal it by his blood. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, now you know why I said what an incredible prayer that was. That's like using all scripture verses. In fact, Austin, I'm going to send that to you once I get it all updated, and I want to go ahead and post it on our website so people can go ahead and print it. So I just want to thank Todd again for sending that to me. He sent me a bunch of other scripture information, too, that he was really showing me yesterday that I had not seen, even though I've read the New Testament hundreds of times, and the Old Testament I don't know how many times, and the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs hundreds of times. I mean, I really don't know. I'm just guessing. It's been so many years. So it's pretty neat when you have somebody pray something like this over you, especially when they do it from memory and not by reading. And quite frankly, this prayer he sent me is really good, but the one yesterday, because it was coming from him through his spirit and it wasn't being read, I felt it was a little bit better, but I think he did a great job in putting it back together. But guys, that's an incredible prayer. I sent it out to my reading list last night. Austin, what's your next story?
Well, this is pretty wild now. You know, I always tell everybody to keep a lookout on false flags or any type of weird things that are going on. So this is basically just a general alert. Everybody keep a heads up, not a scare or, you know, really anything wild, but just have an idea of what's going on and make sure you know what is happening in your area. Hopefully it's a false alarm and it's just another drill like they always do. In just a few days, April 24th through 26th, which will be basically Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, Operation Gotham Shield is going to commence. It is a tabletop joint agency exercise involving FEMA, Homeland Security, a myriad of law enforcement and military agencies, and also Canada. WMD chemical and biological units will all be on hand as response is tested for a simulated nuclear detonation over the United States, including Manhattan, Jersey, and Canada. Now, this whole thing's pretty bizarre here. This is what the exercise is going to be about. It is a full-blown, like, live exercise, they're saying, which is always what kind of makes me weird about this, especially with what's currently going on right now. During this exercise, four nuclear devices, two of which are rendered safe during the DOD Vital Archer exercise, and one successful 10-kilowatt detonation over the New York City area, along with one smaller detonation on the U.S.-Canadian border, are going to take place. Now, I don't know, like I said, I don't know of anything going on as far as what's going to really happen. Is this just a drill as far as I know? I find this very oddly timed, and this seems like it's a pretty hot drill. A lot of agencies involved in it. Almost every time we've seen things happen, like with either Sandy Hook, even with 9/11, with the Boston Marathon, there's always some other drill or something going on behind the scenes when it goes live. So I just want to kind of throw that out there and make sure everybody has a heads up to what's actually occurring next week, Deb.
You know, same thing. I mean, the Pentagon was doing a drill on 9/11, that basically that the trade towers were being hit by planes and all this other kind of crazy nonsense that was going on. And of course, it wasn't a drill; it was live. And I mean, of course, our defenses have been shut down. I mean, I don't trust these guys. This deranged Sabotin Cabalist group that's taken over the White House, that's taken over our Congress, that's taken over the Senate, that's taken over the banking, that's taken over the media, that's taken over Hollywood. A bunch of sickos is what they are, so you never know what they're doing, but they're always in this little weird mindset mode. They've got to tell you in advance before they do something to you, and so you can either agree with it or disagree with it, and if you agree with it, then it's okay from a quote-unquote, and their look of the way they look at it from a karma standpoint, to go ahead and just let you have whatever you agreed to have, which can be just a big giant mess. So we see this repeatedly, but that's their, what they call the lesser magic, or white magic, they call it, which they have to do this in advance before they do it to you, as far as letting you know. Otherwise, they say on the other side, when they go to the other dimension, there's a lot of payback on their end if they don't pre-inform you, kind of like the vampire asking to come into your home, and you can say no to him and he has to leave, or you can allow him into the house and then he'll end up doing whatever he wants to do once he gets in the house. These guys are really a bunch of sickos. That goes back to druidic worship and fallen angel stuff. And that's why it's so important to pray prayers like I prayed just a minute ago over you and your family every single day, to plead the blood of Christ, to put a hedge of thorns, to station angels all around your family. And the reason for that is you've got to be prepared, you know, with the armor of God every single day to basically stand up against all of this mess. And it's not good enough to pray it. I'm going to pray this one today, and we're going to pray it for the next 5 years, and we're not going to do it again for 5 years. No. You've got to stay current. The Bible says be praying all of the time. Be always in communion with God, because remember, He's your Heavenly Father. He wants you to call home and talk to Him on an ongoing basis. Now, I'm not talking about being out in public and carrying on a conversation with God, making people think that you're Looney Tunes and they're going to take you away in a little short bus. I'm not talking about that, but you know what I mean. Always be praying and be thinking about your Father's work. Another interesting article that I found, and this is some crazy stuff, because, you know, we talked a little bit about this the other day, and I just wanted to share with you, because now it's starting to hit the news and hit USA Today also. It says Dow Chemical urges the Trump administration to ignore pesticides findings. A group of three pesticides makers, including Dow Chemical, sent a letter to the Environmental Protection Agency demanding they throw out a new study showing the impact of these three pesticides on endangered species. Dow Chemical is pushing the Trump administration, that's open to scrapping regulations, to ignore the findings of federal scientists who point out to a family of widely used pesticides that are harmful to 1,800 critically threatened or endangered species. Now, I'm going to stop for just a second. If they're critically going to threaten 1,800 endangered species, that means the rest of us that aren't endangered are also going to be affected by these. I covered part of this the other day. Lawyers representing Dow, whose CEO is a close advisor to President Donald Trump, of course he is, and two other manufacturers of organophosphates, we talked about this with Sarah Nervegas just a couple days ago, sent letters last week to the heads of three Trump's cabinet agencies when the companies asked them to set aside the results of government studies that the companies contend are fundamentally flawed, which, by the way, they are not. Dow Chemical wrote a $1 million check to help underwrite Trump's inaugural festivities. Of course they did. And its chairman and its CEO, Andrew Leveris, heads a White House manufacturing working group. Of course he does. This is so nauseating to me, guys, that these guys are tied into this administration like this. What happened to clean out the swamp? The industry's request comes after the EPA Minister Scott Pruitt announced last month he was reversing an Obama-era effort to ban the use of Dow's chlorpyrifos pesticide on food after a recent peer-reviewed studies found that even tiny levels of exposure could hinder the development of children's brains. How about that? Here we go again. In his prior job as Oklahoma Attorney General, Pruitt often aligned himself in legal disputes with the interests of executives and corporations who supported his state's campaigns. He filed more than a dozen lawsuits seeking to overturn some of the same regulations as he is now charged with enforcing. I mean, this is a major mess. We talked about it, I believe it was on Wednesday, it was Tuesday, and I want to mention it one more time because we broke this story on Tuesday, and now it's coming out again right now after we broke it 3 or 4 days ago. So I want you guys to know this is not in the best interest of the population of this planet. We have too many pesticides. We have too many herbicides, too much stuff that's being found in our food system to be able to allow us to continue to do this. This is not okay. It's not okay any which way you look at it. And these types of pesticides that are organophosphates that are like in the same category with fluorine gas. Oh, that's right. That's also called sarin gas, isn't it? We have sarin gas pesticides that were developed by Germans before World War II that we now are using that are poisoning people and causing fetal brain development issues. No, this is not okay. All of this stuff needs to be banned. It needs to be taken off the market. The whole country needs to go back to organic. This pesticides and herbicides use on these farms now over the years has shown that it is not increasing the gain whatsoever because it's increasing the cost of producing these crops because of the huge amounts of chemicals that are being poured on these crops on an ongoing basis that we, the consumer, are ingesting, including over 20 plants now and crops that are being sprayed with glyphosate that don't even use Roundup resistant anything just to dehydrate these plants a week before they harvest them, including stuff like Quaker oats and oats in general. So guys, it's one of those things. Say no to this. Write your congressman. Tell them no. And hopefully we can stop this train wreck of a Trump administration as far as these immunizations and this pesticide usage. This is a mess, Austin. What do you think?
Well, I'm glad you hit that on the head, man, because this whole GMO thing, you know, and we've been talking about it for years. We've been bringing it up. We've been waking a lot of people up. I mean, a lot of people that I know that listen to our show, that buy stuff from us, that didn't even know anything about GMOs before, are realizing this is a serious issue. And the health aspect is one side of it. That's actually a huge side of it. That is one of the biggest sides of it. The other side of it is the monopoly that it's starting to build in the food industry because it's starting to allow a couple key players to literally own food. They own the patent on seeds. This is an issue, guys, because if you do your research, you'll find that there have been hundreds and hundreds of farmers sued all over the place out west for having cross-contamination with GMO into their non-GMO farms, and they get sued by Monsanto or whatever big GM seed company is exposed to them, and they say, well, you basically have cross-pollinization with a GMO seed that's patented that you didn't pay for, so now we're suing you because our seed got in your garden or your farm. This is an issue because it's starting to grow out of hand, and it's turning into a global thing. A $43 billion takeover deal now has just been released that will merge Chinese state-owned agriculture company Kim China and Swiss-owned seed company Syngenta is expected to turn the world's second largest economy into a biotech titan. In the last couple weeks, the deal has been approved by the EU and U.S. authorities. Once closed, it will be China's biggest overseas acquisition in history. It will create the world's largest farm business largest farm business concentrating agricultural power in the hands of only three countries, the U.S., Germany, and China. This is where it's headed, guys. It's all going to a global scale, just like we talked about yesterday, just like we've talked about all week. That's where it's headed. They want to have a global control over all the seeds. That way they can sit there and allow people to get food. If you do what they say, you get food. If you don't do what they say, they starve you. Food has always been one of the most important tools a tyrannical government has used over its population throughout every aspect of history on the books. That's where this is going with these guys. A full-blown global monopoly on seeds, Dad. And once it reaches that point, it's going to be a very, very, very difficult time to ever try and reverse back to what we've had before, because these guys will literally own almost every aspect of farming globally.
Well, they pretty much do already, and remember, this is the Sabbatean Kabbalah way. This is what they do.
Yeah.
They basically come in, they seize all the assets, they take them away from the original owners and the manufacturers, that they buy up these assets with fiat money that they print out of nothing. They buy real tangible plants and equipments and production facilities, and they give these people the fiat currency, which they can hyperinflate and make useless and meaningless within a matter of months or weeks. This is what they do. This is how they've always done it. And this is exactly what happened in the Weimar Republic. And so everybody needs to understand something, guys. This has just gone global. It's like I talked about yesterday, about the whole key here is to get a one world central bank, then a one world central government, and then they can pretty much chip everybody with transhumanism and turn us all into slaves. And if you want to hear more about that one, you probably need to call back, listen to the show from yesterday. By the way, remember how I talked just a few minutes ago about how they always want to tell you what they're going to do, and they always kind of give you little hints? Well, Bill Gates does that a lot. He said that with vaccines years ago about how they can be used to reduce the population of the planet, hopefully effectively like a 10% reduction in population. And we know that. Some people say, and this is the stuff that I've read. I'm not saying this has been vetted, and I'm giving you that information in addition to it, because I'm not sure if this is accurate or not. Paul Walker, he was basically killed in a Porsche Carrera GT a few years ago. And he was the band who played in the Fast and the Furious. And one of the research articles that I had read and traced back to him is that he was going to go public in sterility agents that were being put into vaccines, primarily in the Philippines. And then that's one of the reasons that they took him out. Now, whether that's true or not, I have absolutely no idea. But he always seemed like a nice guy. But here's what Bill Gates is saying now. Now listen very carefully to what he says, because remember, they always like to tell you what they're going to do. Bill Gates warns that terrorists could weaponize smallpox. Speaking at a security conference in Munich, the richest man in the world, well, he's not, the Rothschilds are, and the Rockefellers are, warned that the impact of deadly viruses such as smallpox, should they spread, here we go, could be worse than that of a nuclear attack. There we go. That's what I talked about the other day. Gates, who delivered his chilling warning ahead of a speech at the Royal United Services Institute in London, said the world should not underestimate the potential threat of lethal respiratory viruses, as they are becoming easier to recreate and spread. The next epidemic could originate on the computer screen of a terrorist intent on using genetic engineering to create a synthetic version of the smallpox virus or a super contagious and deadly strain of the flu. Guys, they're telling you what they're going to do. I'm going on the record as for this. I've told you many times, and I continue to say this, I don't believe this is going to be a nuclear war, and here's why. I don't believe, are you okay, Austin? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Okay. I don't believe that the entities, the unseen realm that runs this planet, wants it nuked. I don't believe that. I believe it creates too much havoc in the other dimensions when you start dropping nuclear bombs and hydrogen bombs, etc. I believe they actually tear fabrics in the fabric of space-time. I could do a whole show on that. Don't have time today. So I don't believe that's going to happen. But as far as this smallpox and weaponized avian flu, he's saying that this is a high probability now. I personally believe that this is how they're planning on reducing the population. Because remember, the people in the United States have now been immunized with vaccines that contained insect parts and rat parts,
yep,
and dog parts and pig parts. And who knows what else they put into the vaccines. Our immune systems are shot. Our immune systems are shot because they're in hyperdrive, because they're constantly trying to produce antibodies against all of these antigens or these foreign bodies that are being put into our bodies. Our children are the sickest ever. They're always sick. They've always got runny noses. They've always got a head problem. They've always got stuffed up sinuses. They've got tonsillitis. They got ADD. They got autism. We're creating the sickest generation of children we've ever had in the United States. And most of the older people, including my age and under, who are the toastest Twinkie babies from the 50s and the 60s, we're the ones who were raised entirely on a processed food, junk food diet from the very beginning, and we're some of the sickest people that this planet's ever seen. that's why we lead the world when it comes to heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. We talked about this in depth yesterday. And so if they come in with one of these things like smallpox or the avian flu, with everybody's immune system shut down now, overloaded already, it will rip through the population of the United States, just like the plague did in Europe, and just like the swine flu did in Europe and parts of the United States back in the 1900s and the 14 and 1500s. So this is a major, major problem that this is going to happen, and they're telling us it's going to happen, because I don't believe they want to destroy the infrastructure or the plants or anything else they're doing, or the highways or the buildings. I don't think they want to do that. It takes too much energy and too much manpower to rebuild all this stuff. It takes a lot less to maintain it than it does to build it. I don't think they're going to do that with nuclear weapons. But this, what Bill Clay Gates is saying right now, remember, guys, this is a guy who's a globalist, and he wants to depopulate the planet. He said it over and over and over again, and I personally believe he's doing his little white magic, satanic, sabbatane, Kabbalist mess right here and letting us know in advance what they're doing. What do you think, Austin?
Yes, I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, and that's also what could be going on with this whole training thing, false flag, whatever you want to call it in New York that I was just talking about with this nuclear drill. That could be obfuscation to get everybody's attention on that as well, just like something that's going on in North Korea could be obfuscation, and then all of a sudden we have this massive pandemic that explodes over the entire country, the entire world. You're absolutely right. From a strategical standpoint, from a globalist point of view, the most efficient way to basically bring down the population is doing something like that, because they don't lose any infrastructure that way, as you just said. You start dropping nuclear weapons all over the world, I mean, not only do you just absolutely wreak havoc on infrastructure, I mean, the buildings, the roadways, all that stuff not just has to be rebuilt, it has to be torn down and hauled off and rebuilt over again because of how devastating it is. So it's not something that's just, oh, we're just going to drop a couple nukes on this country, and then we'll just turn around and have it rebuilt. With what population at that point? So it's a very, very valid point you brought up with that. We'll have to see, man. I mean, that's why it's so important. Everybody keeps their immune system so strong. That's why I tell people all the time, make sure you're staying at least regular on the vitamin C and the D3 all the time. The D3 10,000 K2, you could run one of those a day just as a staple supplement to one every other day sometimes with, as far as with body weight. Excellent C, you know, 1,500 to 3,000 milligrams a day is a good daily dosage. That right there does an incredible job. And then if you're compromised somehow, you know, the astragalus, the viral graphis, the black seed oil, all those are additional ones you can really throw in and really, really bump the immune system up. Because my opinion, if the United States had the immune system like we did back in the early 1900s, and see, a lot of people always try to use the excuse, well, vaccines have eradicated this, they've eradicated that. No, what's gotten rid of a lot of it is hygiene. That's what's gotten rid of a lot of this stuff. It's proper hygiene, proper sanitation, proper toilets. The things that we've done with the vaccines now, all they've done is compromise the immune system and compromise the health. I talked about yesterday, we have pretty much the sickest generation as far as children in this country, the sickest children, but we have the highest vaccinated children in the world. That's not a coincidence, guys. This stuff is going hand in hand together, and nobody wants to address it. We just had a customer call in today. I actually had a new customer. I ordered some stuff, and, you know, I felt kind of bad. I wasn't really, you know, Steve was talking to her, and I talked to him after he talked to her. She's 38 years old, and she had a mild heart attack when she was 32. Cholesterol was fine, though. Basically, they weren't sure what really caused it, but the doctor said after she had the heart attack, you got to go on statins immediately. She's like, well, my cholesterol's at like 180. What do I need to go on statins for? It's a preventative measure. You got to be on statins the rest of your life now because you had a heart attack. She goes, but my heart attack had nothing to do with cholesterol, wasn't induced by that. Doesn't matter, it's preventative measure. She goes, but I'm 32. Do I really need to be on statins? Nope, you got to be on statins, you're going to die. Okay, I'll go on statins. She's been on statins for the last 6 years now. For the last 6 months, she started having extremely bad muscle pains, extremely weak, extremely fatigued, horrible kidney pains, which is, you guys know, it's muscle necrosis. Her body's basically, her muscle tissue's dissolving. It's breaking down. It's eating its own muscle tissue. And the kidneys are having to process all this extra tissue and protein that are in the bloodstream. Unbelievably bad for you. And she calls up. She goes, I don't know what to do. My cholesterol's at like 160. I feel feel horrible. I have no energy. I have no memory. I can't function. My muscles hurt. My kidneys hurt. Doctor told me I have to stay on statins. Can't come off. And she said, I went up the other day. I talked to him about all the side effects. I finally looked it up and realized every single side effect I'm having is listed on the statin drugs now that I'm looking it up. Doctor goes, no, that's probably not it. That just could be a mild side effect. You know, it'll go away soon. You got to stay on the statins because your heart attack. Are you kidding me, guys? These guys are so either inept and brain dead, even though they're so smart as far as book smart, but they're so inept as far as common sense, or they get the kickbacks, which we've already seen. They've already proven this numerous times, that these doctors get bonuses, they get extra mileage, they get all kinds of different stuff as far as free plane tickets, free travels, free expenses, free cars, all types of stuff when they do X amount of numbers with the pharmaceutical companies. This whole thing is a scam with the pharmaceutical industry. We spent over $450 billion in the United States last year on pharmaceutical drugs. That's a problem to me. That's a serious problem. And that's where this is headed now. That's why it's been a systemic issue for the last 20 to 30 years of doing everything they can to wipe out our immune systems with the vaccines, with the pharmaceuticals, with the GMOs, with the chemtrails, and. It just goes down the list. That way, if they do release something like Dad just talked about, everybody's immune system is compromised. Well, I got news for you guys. You don't have to allow it to be compromised. You don't have to keep eating GMOs. You don't have to keep taking vaccines. You don't have to keep drinking the fluoride and the chlorine in the water. You can start taking supplements. You can start eating correctly. You can start exercising and get your body rebuilt to the level it's at. It's very simple. We have people call us all the time. If you guys need help or you have questions, call us up at Health Masters, 1-800-726-1834. And I'm not trying to do an infomercial here. I'm just trying to get this information out to you guys. I love helping people, but I am absolutely disgusted at what I've seen happen to the health of this country and how if something does happen, it's going to be a very, very significant problem because of the state that everybody is in, including our children. And that's not God's best for us, Dad.
No, it's not. Also, one other thing I want to add to that, immune protocol is the potassium iodide, 12.5 milligrams a day. That's incredibly important. In fact, it pretty much eliminates the risk of breast cancer, according to the research studies that I've read. So if you take that level of potassium iodide, it's super, super important. There used to be, I'm not going to get into all that, but you know, also, I mentioned this on Wednesday when I was on with David Steele, and I basically, when he was on with us, and I basically mentioned that one of the primary reasons they use the organ harvesting and organ trafficking from third world countries is because very few of those people in those countries have been organ damaged by the drugs that were on in the United States. Now I'm going to repeat what I just said.
Wow.
The reason a lot of these kids and young adults are being used from third world countries is because they're not taking statin drugs, which can cause skeletal muscle necrosis, which means your muscle tissue actually dies. Then it rots and dissolves in your body and your kidney's got a filter, which causes kidney damage. We know that statins cause heart disease, diabetes, cancer. I mean, all of the diseases pretty much that are killing the planet are being caused by statins. And so we know that. So, I mean, I loathe statins. It's one of my top 10 drugs never to put into your bodies. In fact, I wrote about it in my book, Breakthrough Health. So we need to avoid all of that. Now, one other thing I need to say too, you know, and I'm just going to sound really weird for some of you guys and just take it for what it is. It's just weird, okay? You know, for years and years and years, we had cattle mutilations all over the United States and all over the world. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with that, Lynn Moulton Howell did a bunch of research on that. And you can go back and look at her research on YouTube. And it gets into the really doo-doo-doo-doo world of weird, okay? And they're finding these cattle in the middle of nowhere, you know, in the middle of a field with no tracks around the cattle, basically missing their eyeballs, missing their tongues, missing their testicles, missing their ovaries, missing certain glands in their bodies, and blood completely drained out of the cattle. And they find this carcass there. And this has not happened once. It's happened not hundreds, if not thousands of times. And it became a major, major thing back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And, you know, we don't hear much about that anymore, but suddenly we hear about all of these children's organs being taken. I mean, we know that DynaCor supposedly is in the human business of trafficking. All kind of, who knows what? We've seen that through the research that was done and what was exposed, you know, even on mainstream medicine and mainstream news. So I'm not blaming them for doing all the woes and the worries of the world, but I'm saying this. Doesn't it seem strange to anybody else but to me that we're needing this many transplant organs from all of these children? And they're saying that a lot of times that these bodies, after they've been hollowed out and their organs have been taken out for transplants or for selling the organs to who knows what or who, that these bodies are then packed with drugs, shipped in body bags, and then the drugs are continued to be taken around the world inside the cavities of these corpses. Now, this is a real mess. This gets into some really dark, weird stuff, so I don't really want to cover that today. But guys, think about it for a second. I mean, what happened? Why were they doing all this cattle mutilation? Instead, now all of a sudden we're having human mutilation with the sale of all of these organs and livers, especially out of Haiti and some of these third world countries. So this is a major, major deal going on. And so guys, who knows? I have no ideas. By the way, doctors disagree 88% of the time. This is an Alliance for Natural Health. Basically, get a second opinion, you'll get confused. That could be the new model for the healthcare industry, characterized by dueling diagnoses. According to a new study at the Mayo Clinic, 9 out of 10 people who seek a second opinion after receiving an initial diagnosis from a doctor get either a somewhat different or a completely new diagnosis from the second doctor. Only in 12% of the cases did the second doctor simply confirm the initial diagnosis. And this is only diagnosis. When it comes to treatment, the disagreement gets even sharper. So much for settled science and evidence-based medicine. Discrepancy of treatment was underscored in an earlier report we covered from ProPublica, which followed a man who's experienced chest pain. Doctors in cardiology recommending an angiogram, a surgical procedure that installs a stent. Only after speaking to a third doctor did he learn that his condition could be managed by short-term medication and lifestyle changes. The larger point of the report was that the medical procedures and medications are often used by the conventional medical community long after their appropriateness have been contraindicated by research. In other words, millions of patients are receiving treatments that scientists have termed to be ineffective, dangerous, or both. Now, I want to say something about this very quickly. If you're diagnosed with a health problem, what you do, you don't go to your doctor and tell him what's wrong with you. You give him the symptoms, let him make the diagnosis, which is basically an educated guess. And then what you do is you go to the next doctor and you don't tell him what the first doctor said. That's very important that you know that. Don't tell him what the first doctor said, because then in many cases they would just want to agree with the first doctor. Now, if apparently according to this research, 88% of the time they don't, but I don't know if they were told what the first doctor said. And if you're going to get 3 or 4 or 5 opinions from a bunch of different doctors because you have a bunch of different issues that you want to have looked at, what you really need to do is try to maintain it all from an independent standpoint. Then you need to take a look at what they want you to do, and you need to go and talk to the pharmacist at the local drugstore, and you need to ask him what the side effects are of the drugs that they want to put you on. And what I ask you to do at this point, get a copy of the physician's desk reference from that drugstore, from that pharmacist, and find out exactly what the major side effects are from each of the drugs. And in fact, a lot of that research you can pull up online and just put the name of the drug and put down toxic side effects, and you should get a plethora of side effects. I did this in my book, Breakthrough Health, and I've got page after page after page after page of toxic side effects from certain drugs that are right offline and from many of the medical periodicals. And what will happen is you'll find this, and you'll see it also in the evening when you watch TV and they're promoting drugs and drug commercials. They tell you, they say, well, if you have a problem with an upset stomach, then take this product and it'll make you feel great. You'll no longer have an upset stomach, but your knees are going to hurt. Your ankles are going to hurt. You're going to puke your guts out about every third day. Your heart's going to go into palpitations. You may be dizzy and fainting and falling down when you're trying to walk, but you shouldn't have problems with your stomach unless every other day you puke your guts out. And also be careful because it may cause death, but you should feel good on this product. I mean, I know I'm making that a parody, but I'm really not. I mean, it really is that bad. So what you have to do is you have to weigh the facts. Are the drugs going to be worse than the problem that I have? In other words, if every once in a while you get up in the morning and your back's a little bit stiff and it's a little bit tight and you got a little bit of pain or whatever in your back, I mean, do you really want to take a bunch of drugs that are going to cause that pain to go away but cause you to have heart disease in the meantime? The answer is no. So always remember this, guys. Weigh the risks with the doctor that you're going to. Weigh the risks with the pharmacist at the drugstore. Weigh the risks via your own research, and then make a decision based upon what you learn, not on what they tell you to do. Because remember, guys, you're not a robot. You don't have to do what they tell you to do. They only suggest this, and you can make a decision based upon what you think the facts are. I don't ever follow exactly what I'm told to do unless I know that what they're telling me is the exact thing that I would do also, because there's no point in it, because there's too many other people out there giving you alternative explanations. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. They're really, you see, I did that article, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago, where they said that it was like 78% of people that went into the doctor to get an opinion, when they went and got a second opinion, they got a different opinion than the first one.
That's right.
So it's like more than like 2 out of 3 times, you know, more than 3 out of 4 times, excuse me. That's big numbers. So there's always other options, in my opinion, to look at, especially when it's something minor, you know, like cholesterol. I mean, that's an easy fix. I got a customer that just came in today. He's local. His son does a lot of lighting work for me whenever I need it, and he comes in all the time and gets supplements and buys them. And his wife went to the doctor. They're both in their mid-60s. Or his wife went to the doctor, and her cholesterol is around like 235, you know, a little high if you want to say it was. Doctor flipped out, said she had to be on statins. And I'm not just picking on statins today. This is just something that literally gets brought up every single day of my life in the office. So forgive me if I bring it up all the time, but it's a serious problem. That's why I keep bringing it up. Doctor wanted him on statins. He came in here, talked to me. He's like, what do I need to put her on? I said, just put her on the cholesterol X right now. I said, that's a good budget friendly. You know, you can save some money with it. It's like $20 a bottle. It, make sure she stays off all the real high fat foods. Stay away from hydrogenated oil. Make sure she eats good fats, olive oil, coconut oil, stuff like that. Started taking the cholesterol X, started off at 4 a day for the first month, then dropped it down to 2 a day, and went to the doctors again last week, he said, which has been like 5 weeks. She's been on cholesterol X for about a month and a week. Went in there, cholesterol was at 201. Doctor was like, how'd you get your cholesterol down so fast? Well, this is what I was taking. He goes, well, I don't know. I don't think that'll work. You know, she goes, well, look at my blood work. He goes, well, it did come down really fast. She goes, well, yeah, that's what I'm taking. He goes, oh, I may have to look into this stuff. So we'll see what happens with it. Most of the people, you know, they don't, most of the doctors, they never understand this stuff, nor do they ever want to take the health side. But as far as my friends that came over, they love it. He's came back in and got 2 more bottles for her today, and she's doing great. And so it's that easy. $28 a month for a natural supplement that can do incredibly good things for healthy cholesterol level, or go on a pharmaceutical drug that just has a laundry list of side effects, including muscle rotting, basically, is what it does. Muscle rot. So, yeah, and also, too, I wanted to address today, I don't know if this was another stage thing in Paris. I don't think it is because of how many Muslims have taken over that. There's another... So supposedly another terrorist attack. One officer and 2 others were seriously injured when a Muslim opened gunfire on them with a assault rifle, is what they're calling it again. I'm sure this is going to be used again to strip what remaining law or rights that the French, you know, citizens have there. They already have hardly any. They've been in a state of martial law essentially since 2015. So it's kind of sad to see that happen. Who knows, though, this whole thing with the Muslim invasion has just been another side obfuscation to really just completely explode this on the European culture and on the United States culture from what we've been seeing. I mean, Sweden has been completely taken over now. They're so inept in Sweden. The judges are such idiots over there. Get this the other day. This was in the Royal Court of Western Sweden. The judge said that the Muslim migrant will not be facing rape charges because the court claims that he had a difficult time interpreting the word no when he raped a 14-year-old girl. You've got to be kidding me on this. They said he had difficulties in interpreting and interacting with other people, as well as recognizing the standards he was expected to live up to. Despite video evidence of the girl resisting and repeatedly saying no during the sexual attack, they said, and also to blackmailing the girl after the attack, stating that he would harass her family if she told anybody. The court sided with the migrant even further by suggesting the girl's repeated no only pertained to forced sex, which the judge somehow did not consider rape. They said Abdul will instead be sentenced for protection custody and will be included in the Freedom Relation Act and Relationships Program and will have to pay $6,600 to the girl in compensation. I don't even know what to say about that. So when you say no when you're being raped, that's still not rape. That just means that you didn't say no enough and in his language, and he didn't understand it. So it's your fault for not clearly communicating the fact that you didn't want to be raped in his language. So he just basically has to pay the expenses for the court cost and give you $6,000, and he's on mild probation for a couple months. I don't even know what to say about that, Dad, except for the fact that the Swedes have turned into a total global Muslim caliphate over there, and it seems to me like they're being told from higher ups that this is what's supposed to happen in that country, because I've never seen something this blatant before on the actual citizens of a country like these judges are doing over there right now.
I don't even know how to respond to this whole story. I mean, it's just, I mean, I could jump up and down on the table and start screaming with a bunch of idiots they are, but that's not going to help the story, you know? I don't know what to say with Sweden. Sweden has basically gotten themselves in a position where they've become politically corrupt of their own destruction of their own country. I mean, that's all you can say. I mean, and I hope and I pray to God Almighty, I really do, I mean this very sincerely too, Lord, that, you know, that this doesn't happen to the United States, that we start allowing rapists to walk free because the person didn't yell no loud enough or in the right language when they're being raped. Any guy who's ever dated a girl who didn't want to have sex with him knows exactly when the girl doesn't want to have sex with you. You know, she says no, you get body posturing, body language, body everything else, and you say, okay, that's fine, yeah, whatever. I mean, this is not some kind of rocket science requiring two double PhDs to figure out what the she's not interested means. But apparently these guys who are so used to raping women over there in these Muslim countries or raping them on the road to wherever they are really don't care. And they don't care about the laws. And of course, when this kind of stuff happens, it just sends further mixed signals to the rest of the rapists, migrants that are in the city, that it doesn't really make any difference what you do. They're not going to do anything. Number, and here's the second thing. A $6,600 fine, that's a lot of money for most people. And here's a migrant who probably doesn't even have a job. So you can pretty much guarantee the fact that this woman will never see the $6,600 to her or her family for what's happened.
No.
And there'll probably be no retribution to him for not paying this fine. So it's a big mess. Also, one other thing you said earlier, and I wanted to address this very quickly, is that why so many medical professionals are unwilling to see realistic studies that are being anecdotally, we talked about this with Dr. Rowan last week, that when you see things in your office and you see things that you're working with and you find out that things work or don't work, a lot of people simply don't want to see the truth. They want double blind clinical research evidence. Now, the biggest reason that happens is because of the blinders they put on you in medical school with double-blind clinical research studies, which I've talked about this in depth before, so I won't go into that again. But the problem is this. A lot of the people that go into medicine is because they memorize things very well. They can memorize the periodic table of elements, or they can balance balance out a chemistry equation very well, or they can remember, you know, what dosing to use of what drugs when they take their tests or their boards or their classes or whatever they're using in pharmacology. So a lot of these guys are very smart from an IQ standpoint as far as rote memory and retention. But in Germany, the word Verstand means like common sense or reasoning skills. And they don't have that. They don't have a Verstand, and the other word is Vernünftig. They don't have any common sense. They don't have a Verstand, and they're not Vernünftig. They don't have any common sense or reasoning skills. And so what ends up happening is they just continue to follow the mainstream dogma of what they were taught in school or what they're taught in their continuing ed classes from the pharmaceutical corporations. Now remember though, guys, a lot of these guys, if they push the envelope too far and they start not following what they're told, they'll have their licenses suspended or revoked. You got to remember that. They'll simply take their medical license away and they'll no longer be able to practice medicine, and they'll come up with some kind of cocky mammy story or whatever the person did, and they're no longer fit to practice medicine. Now, some doctors really aren't fit to practice medicine. Some of them are just downright scoundrels, but that's a very small percentage of the total group. The vast majority of the group, though, they've been trained to be politically correct, pharmaceutically correct, and educationally correct, and follow what's called the common program, the common treatment protocol. And when they do that, they're always doing the same things over and over and over again. And what they do is they simply stop taking their subjective blinders off, and they go, we're not going to look at what's happening to all of these kids that we're giving these immunizations to, because they're all telling us that they're safe, so we have to believe what the mainstream narrative is. So it's a major problem in the medical profession simply because they're not taught how to think. They're taught how to memorize, and a lot of them have never been taught how to think. They basically have spent their entire lives studying from first grade on, and by the time they get through college and through medical school, they still don't have the ability to have concrete rational thought and think through these issues. Another story. Diet drinks are now just been shown to triple your risk of stroke and dementia, and are far more dangerous than sodas sweetened with sugar. This is from the Daily Mail. Boston University researchers found aspartame, which I've talked about until nauseam for 30 years, low-calorie sweetener wreaks havoc on the arteries as opposed to sugar-sweetened drinks. They found a direct link between the damage and dementia and stroke. This news comes amid a surge in popularity for diet drinks in kids and adults, and the surge is going up. Adults with at least one diet drink a day are three times more at risk from stroke or dementia, research shows. Now, what's crazy about this is, and this is a study with thousands of people, so it's a very accurate study, is that I told folks, oh my gosh, 37 years ago when this stuff first came out, with all the research that was done on it, that it causes brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation, blindness. It can cause senile dementia. It can cause increased risks of Alzheimer's disease. It can eat holes in the brains of the test subjects. It can cause seizures. I mean, this is some awful stuff. I've talked about it so many times. It's a dopamine trigger in the brain. It's super addictive. So guys, stay off of Splenda. Stay off of aspartame. It's really, really important. By the way, tonight I'm going to be on Hagman and Hagman for 3 full hours with Joe and for Doug. So we're looking forward to the show tonight. A lot of new stories we're going to cover tonight. A lot of great information this evening on Hagman and Hagman. So if you guys want to tune in tonight, that'll be wonderful. Guys, God bless you. Thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being our friends. Thanks for sending me prayers like this in the mail. Wow. I mean, you guys are so awesome. We got the best listeners and the best customers and the best supporters and the best prayer warriors on the planet. And I thank you for your support. I really do. I just want you guys to know that I appreciate you and that we love you. Austin, go ahead and finish it up, and I'll write a summary.
Sounds good, bud. Yeah, and we thought we were going to skate by down here in Florida with the GM mosquitoes that they were going to release, but apparently they came out with another batch. Thousands of bacteria-infected mosquitoes were released into the wild Tuesday near Key West, testing a new way to kill mosquitoes that carries the Zika and other viruses. They're at it again. The Florida Keys Mosquito Control District released 20,000 male mosquitoes infected by the Kentucky-based company Mosquito Mate with a naturally occurring Wolbachia bacteria. The offspring produced when the lab-bred mosquitoes mate with wild female mosquitoes won't survive to adulthood. Male mosquitoes don't bite, and Wolbachia is not harmful to humans. The eggs never even hatch, said Stephen Dobson, Mosquito Mate's founder. The infected mosquitoes were flown in cardboard tubes from Lexington, Kentucky to Key West on Tuesday morning and released. So, I don't know. I always have an issue when you start genetically modifying any of this stuff. I know that was one of the issues that came about with love bugs when they brought them into Florida. And they are a giant nuisance now. They don't do anything productive except eat through your paint with their acid in the blood and their guts, whatever. So this is pretty wild that they've decided to still go ahead and release this. It's just not the same as it was before. It's a different type of GM mosquito now. Also, too, we talk about cell phones all the time and trying to prevent them from being up close to your body for very long periods of time. Long-time Telecom Italia employee has been awarded monthly Social Security payments after a court found that his brain tumor was directly caused by a cell phone. Lawyer Stephen Murrow said Thursday was the first trial court verdict in which he was aware in the world to recognize a link between cell phone use and development of a brain tumor. They said one factor that appeared to have contributed to the verdict was the refusal by the court's expert to accept into evidence studies that were funded by the telecom industry. And so what they were saying is the telecom industry tried to produce their own studies showing that cell phones do not cause cancer in any way, shape, or form. They basically did not buy into that. They wanted to do some outside studies. We've talked about it before. Now there's been multiple studies that have been done linking cell phone usage to brain cancer. Even we've seen it before with cancer in the leg as far as people that have left them in their pockets for long periods of time. Guys, don't put the cell phones up against you. I know a lot of times we're out somewhere, you got to put it in your pocket or something like that. Throw it in a purse if you can. Throw it in a, leave it in your truck if you can, if you're not using it. I always try and leave it out. I know a lot of times it's not convenient to not have it with you. Everybody's so hooked on cell phones now all the time. It's kind of difficult for some people to get away from them. But I actually read an article the other day. I don't have it in front of me, but it was saying how the social media analytics they use and the designs they use now with Snapchat and all this stuff on Facebook, they're actually using the same devices and technology and aspects of it as slot machines do in casinos to get you constantly addicted to it. So that's one thing we all have to work on. I know everybody, you know, has a cell phone pretty much. We all use it, but trying to stay off of it as much as you can. Everybody's going to use it. We pretty much all have to use it for work and business now. But if you have the ability to come off of it for a while and stay off of it, it's definitely better for you. And also too, especially now that we see a lot of this stuff is directly linking to cancer. Guys, we appreciate everything. Also too, again, check out the website, healthmasters.com. You guys can check out the probiotic, 100 billion. That's what's on sale right now for product of the week. We did it on, 10% off, so it's $53.98 is what it's on sale for right now. Again, I talked about that a little bit yesterday, but I'll go over it again. It's 100 billion CFUs, which is colony-forming units of a very, very strong, I think it's four different strands of probiotics. So it's incredibly good for gut health. It's incredibly good for digestion. Really good at just overall health in the body. That's a big aspect that you need to make sure of, especially if you haven't been eating very clean. Also, too, if you've been on any types of antibiotics, antibiotics completely wreck the entire gastrointestinal probiotic system and the gut microbe in the body. That's why I always tell people, do not go on antibiotics unless it is an absolute last ditch effort or something that you know you have to pretty much go on them. Black seed oil, colloidal silver, D3, vitamin C, all those in high doses can usually have very similar effects. And again, I'm not saying don't go on antibiotics if you have to go on them. The doctor prescribes them to you and he says you absolutely need to go on these, then you need to make sure that you follow whatever his recommendations are. But I've seen way too many times people have been using antibiotics, don't even need to be on antibiotics at all, yet they're still on them for weeks, sometimes months at a time, which our bodies were never designed to handle that load of antibiotics. They need to be used a fast blitz to kill off whatever's going on, and then when you come off of them, use natural supplementation to increase your natural gut microbe and you get probiotics in your body, and use other products like the colloidal silver, the astragalus, the black seed oil to keep down any negative bacteria that could be trying to rebound or grow after that situation is resolved. That's the best way that I have found to use it before, and the best way to utilize antibiotics without having to stay on them for long periods of time. And also, too, make sure you stay off any of the foods, a lot of the antibiotic-ridden beef or chicken. Go organic, guys, if you can. If not, at least get, like, completely natural, you know, free-range food that has no antibiotics in it, no hormones, none of that, because that stuff is really not anything you want to be putting in your body whatsoever. We appreciate everything, guys. Check us out, healthmasters.com. Send us an email if you like. You guys have a awesome, great, blessed weekend. And listen to the Hagman Show tonight. It's going to be pretty cool. A lot of good stuff going on. You guys have a blessed night and an awesome weekend. And I'll talk to you again Monday.